we are fundamentally, we're moral beings, and one would expect the churches to speak to our moral selves and to, in a sense, give us a sense of real purpose, that here is, for the first time ever, a challenge for the whole global community, and all the things that divide us could be laid aside to get all the energy we can to make this world a suitable place, and a beautiful place, and a fertile place for the next numbers of generations.
And why aren't the church speaking out about it?
Well, you see, one of the awful things that happened in the beginning of the beginning of the modern scientific age, with the Galileos of this world, and then even the Kants of this world, that there was this sense that science and religion were two different paths. You know, sometimes they were fighting each other, like the Galileo case. The more Kantian ones, they were doffing their hats to each other. How are you? But science looks at phenomena, and religion looks at values. And once they kept out of each other's hair, that was fine. But, you know, in more recent times, we've seen, particularly with the works of people like Teilhard de Chardin, that these are two ways into knowledge. And so the churches actually had to become much more competent in what is the scientific, what's the ecological issues, the economic issues. But now I'm talking here about the churches. I'm not talking about the hierarchies of the churches. And that actually would happen if the churches took very seriously that in any place like Dublin or Maynooth, you have numerous people who are extremely literate in this area and are actually church people. So the church together then should be said, look, well, we have a particular expertise is to look at the moral and religious dimensions of this. And we're only beginning to do that. We're kind of pre-kinder at this stage. And sadly so, because we don't, in climate change, for example, we don't have the luxury of too much time. Mm. The reality is we have a window of opportunity for about 15 to 20 years, and that's stretching it. And everyone is saying that. The International Panel on Climate Change is saying it. The Stern Report is saying it. Before we have reached tipping points where the kind of knock-on effect will be horrible.
Is it because of the whole idea that we have dominion of the earth? I mean, is that at the heart of why we're not taking
well,
it seriously?
Well, yeah, there's a whole debate since the 1960s. Lynn White was an American historian of technology. He wrote an article in the magazine Science claiming that the Christianity and Judaism was responsible for the ecological crisis because of that. First of all, because of the dualism, that man was above all of the rest of nature and that he had dominion over it. Now, of course, scripture scholars, when you go to them and say, well, let's have a read of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, they will say, well, it doesn't mean what we have taken it to mean in the last 400 years, which was pretty much a license to do whatever we want to do, use it for resources, but also use it to entertain us, dog fights, bull fights, you know. There was no moral saying, is it right for us to be involved, to be subjecting creatures to this kind of abuse? So we haven't had a great tradition, and despite the fact that there's plenty in the Hebrew Scriptures, a sensibility to the natural world, that we could develop. The other thing is, the Christian churches, to their glory in one way, have been very focused on the human reality, and particularly human suffering and human frailty. Mm. We've kind of taken on board this man the measure of all things, and then everything else is secondary. Now, of course, biologically and evolutionarily, that doesn't put us in a right place. Our right place is the carbon in your hands came from the stars 11 billion years ago. The reality of life came 4 billion years in the ocean. So there's that dimension of every part of you. If you leave out one of those dimensions, you're actually not saying what a human being is today. And the people who have given us the narrative for that story are the scientists, the cosmologists, the physicists. I think if we took that more on board, and another thing, if we began to celebrate it, and when we break and share the host before communion, it's breaking and sharing. Sharing is at the heart of this, but not just sharing with us here now, with future generations. Then I think you would begin to take on board, oh my, something's happening locally in my area. My Loch Derg is under threat. And I have made a direct connect with that, with the Shannon and with the rivers and anything that's actually breaking that peace, that we better start putting it together. I think that kind of energy could come from religion and transform both religion and also transform our relationship to the natural world.
Is that, though, I mean, moving away from the creationist image of humanity, I mean, would you not then be looking at alienating an awful lot of people who are still hanging on to the literal sense of the Bible?
Well, the reality is, the literal sense, the creationist bit is an insult to the Bible. The Bible is written between 3,500 years and 2,000 years ago. So there are many cultures and many languages. Now, when people say to me, I love the Bible, I say to them, wonderful to hear that. Now, if you loved a Chinese person and they couldn't speak English, would you, and you really loved them, would that kind of impel you to learn Chinese so that you could speak to them and actually then learn their culture? So can I ask you, if you really say you love the Bible, that you actually use the energy and time to understand, what's the first account of creation? Where does that come from? What are the literary forms that have been used? What's the cultural assumptions and background? Because you want to get at the meaning of it. Now, what you're actually doing is you're imposing a 2007 meaning on an ancient text. And you're discounting its culture, its history, its language. That doesn't seem to me to be someone who really loves the Bible. And so I would argue, and I do in my books, there is no way is there any contradiction. In actual fact, the evolutionary position shows the divine to be even more extraordinary.
What about people, though, who say, you know, it's too late anyway? You know, things are heating up. What's the point? Why bother?
Well, I mean, that's basically despair. And I don't think despair is is worthy of a human person. I mean, that may very well be, but I, as a human individual, and every individual living, has obligations to their parents, to their children, to their grandchildren. And David Suzuki said, a Canadian scientist, geneticist of Japanese background, he says, when I look into, when my granddaughter asks me, you know, why didn't I know more? I said, at least I did something. And what I did hopefully will have a ripple effect around. Now, a person with a Christian faith, of course, is in a much better position, because we do know in the resurrection of Christ, and we're talking here about the time of Pentecost, renew the face of the earth, that actually the natural world has been taken up into the divinity. That's what meant by the resurrection. But at least the knowledge that there is a loving God who loves us and loves the earth there, and is probably suffering because of what's happening in the natural world, that should give us strength and courage, and should give us the resolve to do the right thing, because it is the right thing.